So this morning we are talking, in fact, not just this morning, this whole month, the month of November, we are talking about stewardship. What is stewardship? Stewardship is this crazy biblical Christian kind of idea that everything we own is on loan from God. Good stewards invest God's gifts wisely. Now, throughout November, we're going to be talking about the four T's of stewardship: time, talent, treasure, and thanksgiving. Last week, we talked about our limited time in this world and how good stewards use the time that has been given to us wisely. Today, we're going to talk about God's gift of talent to each. And by the way, you all have talents. Okay? No false humility here today, please. It's, you know, we got to honor the gift that God has given us. Every single person in this room has been given a talent by God, and we thank God for that, okay? We can still be humble about it, but I thank God that I'm looking at a room full of people who are talented. God has given you many, many talents. And good stewards use their talents wisely. Next week, the Reverend Tim Hedberg, who is the fifth T in the four T's of stewardship, Tim Hedberg is going to be talking about how we can be good stewards of our treasure, our money, our finances. And then the last week of November, after Thanksgiving, surprise, Pastor Ken Wagner is going to talk about Thanksgiving, that part of stewardship is the Thanksgiving itself, that we respond to God in thanks to what God has given us. Those are the four T's right there: time, talent, treasure, Thanksgiving. This week we're talking about the parable of the talents. You know that one from Matthew 25? You could open your Bibles to that right now if you want to. Matthew 25, parable of the talents. Three servants were given a huge sum of money called a talent. That's what it's called. That's where the word comes from. Talent is not just your natural born abilities. It was a sum of money. In the NIV Bibles that you'll find in your pew there, you can pull that out. It calls it a bag of gold. That's a fine translation. There's nothing wrong with that. But let me tell you what it really was. A talent was 60 pounds of pure silver, okay? 60 pounds of pure silver. What that was 20 years of hard work, okay? When you read talent or you read bag of gold in today's story, every time you hear that, I want you to translate in your head into $1 million, okay? One talent, $1 million. Five talents, $5 million. See, you guys are good. You're good biblical translators. Very good. Okay. Now, so the money in today's story, it doesn't belong to the guys. It's not just a gift. It's a loan. And the idea is that the boss is going to give them some money, and it's their job to invest their money, their $1 million or their $2 million or their $5 million appropriately while he was away. Now, these days, we think of talent as natural born abilities, right? You know why we do that? This parable right here. It's because of this parable that in the English language, talent means your gifts, your ability to sing, your ability to dance, your ability to do math, whatever it is that you can do. The word talent has been used by preachers for like the last 200 years, not just to talk about the money in your wallet, but all the things that you're good at, because we want you to use every bit of you for the glory of God, right? Absolutely. Now, Jesus is talking about investing great wealth, but when you hear it, I want you to think about, like, if you can sing, I want you to think about singing for the glory of God. Or if you're really good at fixing cars, right? I want you to think about fixing cars for the glory of God. Or if you're a scholar, right? You don't just learn and then forget it. You teach someone to the glory of God. Now, some people have lots of talents. Some people only have one talent. No matter how talented you might feel or how untalented you might feel, Today's scripture is encouraging us, put it to work for the glory of God, okay? Whether you feel like you've got all the talents in the world or whether you sort of feel like you don't have a whole lot of talent. Today's scripture is telling you, put it to work in the world for the glory of God. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. To hear this good news that God gave you that talent for a reason, that you might participate in the salvation of the world. From Matthew 25, 14 through 30. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who's called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold. To another, 2 bags. And yet to another, 1 bag. Each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also, the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I know you're a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid. And I went and I hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. The master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you know that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has been given more, and they will have an abundance. And whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken away from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The convicting and frankly, a little bit scary word of the Lord. I got 3 points for you today. Number one, stewardship is not fearful. Stewardship is not fearful. The first servant was an incredible success, right? He's given 5 talents, 5 bags of gold, it says $5 million. We're just going to go with that, okay? He's given $5 million, and he makes $5 million in profit. That's 10 million bucks. What does the boss say when he comes back from his journey? Well done, good and faithful servant. Same thing with the second servant, right? 2 million bucks. He makes a $2 million profit. He has $4 million. Well done, good and faithful servant. And then there's the third servant. the third steward. We're going to call him today Steward Little, okay? Come along with me, come on. Steward Little. And the boss chewed out Steward Little, saying, "You wicked, lazy servant." What is the big difference between the first two servants and Steward Little? Is it the profit margin? I don't think so. Because there's a greater disparity between the first servant and the second servant than the second servant and the third servant. It's not the profit margin, right? The big difference between the two is fear. That's what separates good and faithful servants from wicked and lazy servants. It's fear. Steward Little declared, "I was afraid, and I went out and hid your gold in the ground." Now, just imagine hearing that lame excuse from the person who has been managing your retirement account for the last 30 years. Are you starting to agree with the judgment in today's parable a little bit more than you were 5 minutes ago? You're hearing this from the person who's in charge of your pension, the person who's in charge of your retirement fund. You thought for sure that they had invested it in the stock market for the last 30, 40 years. Turns out it's in their backyard in a sack. And it doesn't smell so good. Here you go. Would you be mad? Just as you expect a good return on your investment, I say to you that God expects a good return on the talents that he's invested in you. Okay? Again, we got to be honest. All of you are talented. No one in this room is without talent. God invested talent in you. God expects you to invest that talent for his purposes in this world. Now, Jesus crafted this story to teach his own disciples that they needed to take some responsibility for their actions, to take some responsibility for the talents that they've been given. Now, when Jesus is talking about money, he's talking about 60 pounds of silver, but Jesus never gave Peter or James or John 60 pounds of silver, did he? No. What did he give them? He chose these guys to be his disciples because they had some gifts of wisdom, discernment, leadership, communication, whatever. He chose these guys for a reason. They were talented, the way we talk about talent, right? They had some talent. Maybe not a ton. These were fishermen, but they had some. And Jesus said, "I want that guy as my disciple." Now, All of the disciples were consumed with fear when Jesus went to the cross to die, right? But all of them overcame that fear with faith, except for Judas Iscariot. All the rest of them overcame their fear because of the gift of faith. Because there's a difference. There's a contrast. These are opposite things, fear and faith. Eventually, these disciples, they spread the good news of Jesus Christ all over the Mediterranean, risking their necks again and again, risking their lives again and again, and the gospel message spread all over the world because they did not stay in fear. They stepped into faith. Now, the parable of the talents reminds us modern disciples that fear still must be overcome by faith. Amen? Fear must be overcome by faith. Now, maybe God will miraculously double your talents, your ability, or even your money, like he did for the first two servants in today's story. Or maybe God will grant you a more modest return on your spiritual investments. I don't know. But I'd like to say to you today, we need to worry less about the payoff and more about the faith to invest, okay? This story does not guarantee that everything you touch is going to turn to gold or silver in this case. There's no guarantee for that. It's not saying that there's a guaranteed doubling of your investment. But God says, no matter what the payoff is, I want you to take your talent, pull it out of the ground, and put it to work in this world. Now, point number two is stewardship is not foolish, okay? There are two ways that stewardship, that faith is opposite today, to fear and to foolishness, okay? They both pull you away from the centerpiece. Now, stewardship is not foolish. The boss, when he invested his money wisely. Jesus tells us that the servants were given money, why? How? Each according to their ability, okay? So he gave one guy $5 million. Why? This is an easy question. He had more ability. He had a better track record. I mean, he had more experience investing money. That was the wise thing to do. He gave another guy $2 million. Why? He had good ability. Not as good as like the first guy, but he had good, solid ability. He was trustworthy. And then there's Steward Little. He gives him $1 million. Why? He had some ability. He had some talent. He just didn't have as much as the other guys, right? Now, the master puts faith in all three of his servants, but he does it in a wise investment strategy. He gives the most to one, some to the second, and just a little of his wealth to the third. Now, Steward Little, he calls the boss a hard man. Now, that phrase, hard man, that could be really positive, strong, or it could be really negative. Like this guy, he is cruel, okay? It kind of has the same connotation as the modern phrase, that's a tough businessman, or wow, she's a tough businesswoman, right? It's got that kind of double edge to it, that wow, maybe they're really good, or wow, maybe they're cruel. The boss, he takes it as a compliment, though, right? He takes it as flattery. He says, yeah, I am a tough man. Yeah, I am a tough businessman. He says, you say that I gather where I don't scatter seed, that I harvest where I don't sow. By the way, what he's saying here is that he succeeds in business without even trying, okay? Right? This guy's having loads of success. He's not even having to put in the effort. He says, you say I'm this kind of man. Indeed, I am. But he says, he'll accept the flattery, but he's not going to accept any excuses from his servant. He says to him, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Okay. He wants the third servant. He wants Steward Little just to stick the money in the bank and make, what's the interest rate right now? I mean, what do you get on the savings? What, he's looking for 1%. He's not asking for a lot out of his money. Make a little interest on the money while I'm away. He never expected Steward Little to make as much money as the first servant. Otherwise, he would have given him the same amount of money. He never expected Steward Little to make as much money even as the second servant. This guy is risk averse. He knows who Steward Little is. This guy is not as gifted as the other servants that work for the boss. It would have been absolutely foolish for Steward Little to gamble the boss's money by buying lottery tickets or some other nonsense. That's not what the boss is asking. Please note that nowhere in today's story does the boss ever expect, demand, or even ask for double his money investment, okay? He never asks for that. That happens. It's not his expectation. He's just looking for Steward Little to take that money and put it to work in the world. Don't bury it in the dirt. Don't take what was given to you and stick it in the ground. Put it to use in the world. The parable of the talents is not asking us to be foolish with our money. There's no guarantee that you're going to get a certain amount of money back from God if you tithe or give money to God. And there's no guarantee that if you suddenly give your talent to God, that everything you touch is going to turn into gold as if you're King Midas, okay? There's no guarantee in today's scripture that you're going to get a double return on your investment. But the parable is saying, have the faith to put it to work in the world. Don't take your talent and hide it away. Don't take your talent and ignore it. Pretend that you don't have it. Give this false humility. Oh, I have no talent. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And it's an insult to God to say you have no talent. God made you. None of you are junk. God made you. And all of you have talent. We need to honor that talent by giving it back to God for his use in this world. But again, I just want to say the danger here is that we think we've got to get a double return on our investment. This is not a parable about works righteousness, like you get this grace, now you need to double it. No. The point is, put it to use, and God might surprise you by taking your little talent and multiplying it in some remarkable way. That's the message here, okay? You don't earn it. But God might take your little talent and turn it into something great. Okay, third point, stewardship is faithful. In fact, I'm going to say that stewardship is just another word for faith, okay? Stewardship is just another word for faith. The story ends with the boss taking the talent away from steward little and giving it to the servant who has 10 talents already. Raise your hand if you think that this is totally unfair. You know, I have sympathy for Stuart Little. Maybe you do too. But again, if this was your pension fund, you have the discernment to say, I wouldn't want Stuart Little to hold on to that money either, right? Give it to the guy that knows how to do well. Jesus says, and this is really an awkward sentence, one that really hurts in a way, for whoever has been given more, and they will have an abundance. And whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken away from them. That is scary. You've been given talents. If you don't use them, you don't get to keep them. They disappear. I want you to think of talent this morning as a muscle, okay? Talent, it's like a muscle. If you do not use it, you will lose it. Singers, any singers out there this morning? You have to keep on singing, right? Otherwise, you lose your ability to sing. Mechanics, any mechanics out there? You got to keep on tinkering with those cars, right? If you stopped working on cars for 20 years, how are you going to get under the hood of a car again with all those computers they have in there these days? It's not a Volkswagen Bug anymore, right? I mean, you have to keep sticking with it. Scholars. If all you do is read the books and you never teach the books, that's a pretty self-centered thing. Scholars, you got to take that learning and put it to use in the world. Talent is just natural born ability until we have the faith to put it to work in the world. Faith exercises our talent. Faith develops our talent. Faith takes our talents and puts it to work in the purposes of God in this world. You were given something precious, a talent worth more than $1 million. And all God is asking for you is to take that and to use it in the world. Now, the first enemy, again, of faith is fear, okay? It is tragic. Wait, I'm doing it backwards. Ah, sorry, fear. Fear's over here, sorry. Fear. The first enemy of faith is fear. It is tragic when someone with a beautiful singing voice, right, is too scared to sing in public, right? That they're too bashful to ever stand up. They're really good in the shower, And you're walking by the shower and you say, oh, they're so beautiful. You should sing in church. You should sing at school. Oh, shucks. I could never do such a thing. That's tragic, right? That's a heartbreaker when someone has talent and it's not put to use. Fear. Fear is what causes us to hoard our wealth or hoard our abilities and use them only for ourselves. Jesus, he warned us about building bigger silos, right? Jesus, he warned us about taking our light and hiding it under a bushel, right? Look, you were given something. Put it to use in the world. God gave you talent to make this world a better place. And then the second enemy of faith is foolishness, right? It's tragic when someone with a beautiful singing voice, they trash it by smoking too much or straining their voice or screaming. In the same way, it's tragic when we invest our money or our talent or abilities in things that are foolish. Now, foolishness is wasting our talents in an undisciplined manner. Jesus warned us about building a tower without counting the cost, right? Jesus warned us about the king who had 10,000 soldiers and he had an army against him with 20,000 soldiers. He didn't count the cost. That's a foolish battle. The gifts of God are not to be wasted. God gave you gifts, not to be held in fear, not to be used foolishly or recklessly, but to be used in faith. Now, maybe God gave you just one talent. Maybe God gave you multiple talents. Whether you have a little or a lot, everything you own is on loan from God. And the parable of the talents teaches us to invest ourselves in the purposes of God. Stewardship is just another word for faith. And if you believe that God has given you enough, it is easy to invest in the purposes of God. And who knows? There might be a wonderful return on your investment, way more than you ever put in. And who knows? Maybe it's a modest return. That's okay. Jesus is okay with that. Are you okay with that? All you have to do is take what little or what lot you've been given, put it to work in the kingdom of God, and you will see something good come of that. Amen.